Amen. Beautiful music, beautiful special, beautiful presence of God, beautiful day, beautiful people. Amen. Everything is beautiful in its own way today. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah, somebody ought to write a song like that. Amen. It's really wonderful to see all of you here this morning. I pastored long enough to know that sometimes holidays make it difficult for people to come to the house of God. And I understand that. I think families are so important. But I honor you today as a congregation for so many of you being here today. And one of the ways I'm going to honor you is I'm not going to keep you a long time today. Amen. I figure if you come out, you deserve to get to go and be with your family and friends. This is the day the Lord hath made. Amen. And we need to rejoice and be glad in it. I stand one more time in this pulpit. I think I have one more chance after this. And I want to say again, thank you to those that have given me this opportunity. You are wonderful people, and we look forward to whatever time we'll spend with you in the future. But today I want to talk to you for a little bit about freedom. And I want to begin by saying I will not say anything today that I hope would cause you to question the way I feel about this great country in which we live. I love America. God bless America. Amen. But I do tell you that I have concerns about our great nation. Amen. I will be about as political as you'll ever hear me in a pulpit, if you ever hear me. I don't do this often, but I'm not going to spend all of my time talking about the freedoms that we possess, but I also want to talk about the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Nothing is free. I want you to know nothing is free. Amen. Nothing is free. There's a price to be paid for everything that is and will ever be. This past Friday, our nation celebrated Independence Day. It is a day set aside to celebrate our freedom as Americans and to reflect on what it means and what it costs for us to be free men and women. Those of us who have trusted in Christ have a greater freedom to celebrate, and that is freedom from the bondage of sin, its tyranny, and from the debt that each of us could never repay. As believers, as Christians, we are called to walk in the freedom that is ours through the Spirit of God and to remember that there is a cost to our freedom in Him also. But first, let me mention the freedom in our nation for just a few moments. Our nation's liberty did not come cheap. Just over 643,000 American soldiers have given their lives in various wars since the birth of our nation in pursuit and defense of freedom. I want to say if you're here today and you are a veteran, I honor you. I thank you for your years of service. Amen. We do not honor enough those that have given of themselves. But perhaps the best expression in a tribute that was ever given was in a tribute entitled "The Price of Freedom," concerning those who fought in the distant lands, defending our freedom. Some were ready and prepared. Others were so young and naive. Some of them chose to serve our country. Others had no choice. They were called to serve. And even as they hugged and kissed their loved ones goodbye, their hearts were heavy and tears filled in their eyes. They had to leave their loved ones and their lives as they had known it. They departed to unfamiliar lands, risking their lives and making so many sacrifices. They protected our rights and our freedoms and the rights of others so that we could have and enjoy the freedom that we have today. And once again, I say, God bless America. I love this great country. Amen. Some of them came home as heroes. They were welcomed wonderfully. Others did not come home at all. They made the ultimate sacrifice. Some came home and were even disgraced and shunned, sadly. Others have been so ashamedly forgotten. We've gone on and it's like they never were here. To all of our veterans, with great pride and honor, you ought to stand and hold your head high because of the freedom and liberty that you have given to this nation today. But there is a price to be paid for freedom. And there are so many that have graciously paid it. All of them need to be remembered.
I know we've just had Memorial Day, and now we celebrate our independence. And I'm not mixing up the holidays, but I'm here to tell you there is no independence without those that have gone and given their life for this great country. And once again, I say thank you. I honor all of you today. But not only in the natural is there a cost of freedom, but the spiritual liberties that we have been given in our own lives, there was a cost to them. We have a debt of bondage that none of us could ever pay. The book of Romans, chapter 5, verse number 6 through 8. The Bible said, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died." Amen. Amen. You got ahead of me there. Amen. "Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God," everybody say, "but God," amen, "commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. We can never forget Calvary. We can never forget the price that he paid for our sins, for the remission of sins, that we might have hope in this life. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18 and 19, the Bible says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." There was a price that was paid. Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He shed his blood for you and I. The scripture said that we might have life, and that more abundantly. There is nothing more wonderful than partaking in the life that Christ has given us. When we truly come to appreciate what he has done in our lives, amen, we are a blessed people, amen. But the question is, do we take advantage of that freedom? Do we walk in that freedom? The scripture tells us that we are called to walk as free men in the Spirit. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6 through 7 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him." Bear with me, everybody say, walk in him. Amen, walk in him. This thing of living for God is not a one-time experience. I thank God for the day that conviction gripped my heart. I thank God for the day that I found myself at an altar of repentance. I thank God for the day that I was baptized and he filled me with his Spirit. But I'm here to tell you that this thing of freedom in Christ will not remain in our lives unless we remain in him. The Bible said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." So many times we forget where our freedom comes from. We forget where our peace comes from. The Bible speaks of the peace of God that passes all understanding. You cannot continue to have that peace in your life unless you continue to walk in him. Let me begin that verse again. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." I'm here to tell you, when you really recognize what God has done in your life, when you really recognize where you would be and the hopelessness you would feel in your life, we have to remember him on a consistent basis. We have to remember that it is his death, his burial, and his resurrection that allows us to walk in the freedom of the Spirit that we do. You see, if we fail to walk in the freedom of the Spirit, we can once again find ourselves enslaved to the things of this world. When we failed in the natural to walk as free men, and let me just go back and forth here for a moment, we become something other than what we have known as a nation. If we're not careful as a nation, we don't appreciate our freedoms, and we don't guard our freedoms, and we don't protect our freedoms. And the price that was paid for so many, if we're not careful, will be taken away from us. I pray every day for this great nation in which we live, but I also pray that God would give us as believers some backbone to stand up in this day and age for that which is right, to stand up for that which is moral, to stand up for that which is just. Amen. Because there are those in our world today that want to take our freedoms away. Amen. They don't hide from it anymore. They're blatant. blatant. They comes forward in a way like never before. You see, in 1863, President Lincoln designated April 30th as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. National humiliation, fasting, and prayer. As a nation, we were called to do that. And when he made that proclamation, I am just going to read a small part of what he said. It is the duty of nations as well as of men who owe their dependency upon the overruling power of God to confess their sins and transgression in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth of whose God is the Lord. He spoke about the calamity of civil war which was upon the land. But he made this statement as he ended it: as we have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has grown, but have we forgotten God? That was 1863. We had a president that was concerned that we had forgotten God. I'm telling you today, I'm afraid that we live in a God that, though our coins still may say, in God we trust. Our monetary system may say, in God we trust. Amen. I'm afraid that we are in a road that takes us away from God. Our patriots fought for freedom of religion, not from religion, as many people would try to tell us today. They're trying to rewrite our history. They fought for the freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. Dr. John Witherspoon, signer of the Declaration of Independence, member of the Congressional Congress, described as the man who shaped America. He said, God grant that in America, true religion and civil liberty may be inseparable. True religion and civil liberty may be inseparable. I fear for our nation today. Patrick Henry said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospels of Jesus Christ. That's our heritage. That's our forefounders. That is where we come from. John Quincy Adams said, he was the sixth president, and he said this: the highest glory of the American Revolution, was it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. We live in a day that we have slipped so far from there. I say, America, we need to wake up. Monroe, we need to wake up. We as individuals have to wake up. They can rewrite it any way they want to rewrite it, but 52 out of 55 of the founders of this great nation were Christians. They fought for freedom from tyranny, from oppression of government. But today, bear with me, I'm just going to touch on it a little longer. Men in black robes, women in black robes, sit in their ivory tower in the courtrooms. Systematically, they seem to be inviting the wrath of God upon us. One radio commentator said it this way: poking God in the eye with an anti-godly decision. God help us. I'm sorry if this goes against you, but America, Christians, believers, we've set back. I am not a man that is looking for trouble, but I do not want to ever forget the foundation of which this great nation was based upon. I do not ever want to forget, amen, that I have the opportunity to lift up my hands and worship my God anytime I want to, that we can assemble and worship our God anytime that we want to, but we better not take it for granted, for there are those that want to take away those freedoms today. They want to take away those freedoms. I'm afraid that we have replaced, as it were, the tyrant King George by a tyrant federal bureaucracy. God help us. I plead with you, pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. The Bible instructs us that we must do that. Amen. And we must be concerned about that. but we also have to be concerned about our spiritual freedoms. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, "Stand fast, wherefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I am here to tell you today that God has always called for people that were a separated people. In fact, the Bible said in one place that you are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, who should show forth the praises of Him who brought you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Amen. We cannot show forth who we are if we allow ourselves to go back into the darkness that God has set us free from. Amen. We have a responsibility to walk in the freedom that has given to us by Christ. We need, as a Christian body today, to stand up and be counted for who we are. We need to be counted as those that will never turn their back on what God has done for them. If we're not careful, we will needlessly become once again in bondage to the sin and the shame that God has set us free from. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16 says it this way, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself as servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." The control is in our hands. The scripture said, who you yield yourself to. Nobody can make you be anything other than what you are. Some time back, a friend of mine wrote a song. He said, "I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live for Him. Nobody's holding a gun to my head. This is how I want to live." Amen. And I'm here to tell you today that we need to stand up for righteousness. We need to stand up in our community for godliness. "Whom ye yield yourself servants to obey." You choose how you will live your life. You will make decisions that will cause you to be free from the things of sin and not find yourself entangled once again in the bondage that God's will is to set us free from. But it is when we recognize where our help comes from. The psalmist said, "I know from whence cometh my help, for my help cometh from thee." He said, "When I'm weak, I'm strong in the Lord." We all are tempted. We all are drawn away. The Bible tells us that, of our own lusts, and the things of this world will get a hold of us if we're not careful. When we try to live and do it on our own, we can't do it. Amen. We don't have the power within us, but it is Christ within you, the Bible said, that is the hope of glory. When I recognize that the freedom that I have to worship Him, the freedom I have to know who He is, the experience that I've had to have Him dwelling in my life, the hope that I have of one day seeing Him and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, Beulah Land," amen. I'm longing for it, amen. But I have to live this life. I have to walk through this field, as it were, amen. We're pilgrims and strangers. We're passing through, but we have hope in Christ because of the price that He paid at Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lead me to Calvary. Lead me back. We don't like to talk about Calvary. People don't talk about the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us like we once were. But without the shedding of blood, the Bible said, there is no remission of sins. I'm here to tell you, when somebody, amen, if somebody comes and gets me out of a mess in the natural, if I've got myself entangled in something, and someone comes through and gets me free from it, I'm going to remember who did it, and I'm going to be appreciative of it. We need to never forget that it was the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, the Bible said. The cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. But wherever you yield yourself, servants, that's who you'll become. I thank God for Calvary. I thank God for salvation. But I also know that I have a responsibility to never forget who it is that has redeemed me. May we never forget the price of freedom, both in the natural and in Christ. One last scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 12 says, "Then beware lest ye forget the Lord who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. I know it's an Old Testament scripture, but it's so fitting for us today. There was a time where the children of Israel had prayed for deliverance for 400 years, but they went out and they left. And when God set them free, when trouble began to come their way, when circumstance was not just as they thought that it should be, they found themselves yearning for the things of Egypt. What a sad scenario. 400 years of bondage, but just a few trials, just a few tests, a few things that didn't go their way caused them to say, take us back to where we were. Moses, you've led us in the wrong direction. Unfortunately, we live in a day and time where if we're not careful, though we know what Christ has done in our lives, we find some things come our way and we might even find ourselves mad at God. I've been there. You don't have to admit it. Amen. I have been a couple times. A few times, maybe more than a few. Like, God, maybe you messed up. No, God never messed up. I messed up. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Sometimes we go through trials, we go through tests, and it's easy for us to think, well, maybe this thing of living for God, of being a child of God, being a Christian isn't all it's cut out to be. My friend, don't ever forget, you're only free in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You're only free in Christ. Don't ever forget Calvary. Don't ever forget his blood that was shed for you. Don't ever forget that without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. Therefore, we're free in him. There in the scriptures said, beware lest ye forget the Lord. Today, I admonish you on this Independence Weekend. Don't ever forget what those that have gone before us have given us as a great nation. Don't ever forget the freedoms that we have. Do everything you can to hold on to them. Be aware like never before of the things that are taking place in our world today, because we don't have any assurity that it will always be this way. But again, let me say, don't ever forget Calvary. Don't ever forget his shed blood. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the world does. Doesn't matter what our politicians do. Doesn't matter what direction this nation goes. I pray that somehow we have not turned in the wrong direction and gone too far. But truly, that's all really irrelevant. Because really important is that I never forget the freedom that I have in Jesus Christ. There are those that live in nations that don't know freedoms as we know them today. But they know what it is to be free in Christ. My freedom in the natural has nothing to do with my freedom in Christ. Our world can change, our circumstance can change, but Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The only way that I leave that presence and that peace that I find in Christ is when I turn from who I've been. I allow myself to become distracted. God help us. I have an American flag that hangs in front of my house. Amen. When I bought the house, I was so glad to see that flagpole there, but I looked up and there was an old tattered American flag hanging there. And the day I bought my house, I went and bought a flag, a good, beautiful flag, and I put it up. Amen. Why? Because I love this great nation in which I live. I'm thankful for it. But I'm here to tell you, our personal lives represent the freedom that Christ has given us. It's not the words I say. It's not the testimonies necessarily that I give. It's how I live my life. Lest I forget what God has done on this Independence Weekend. We are free from sin. We're free from shame. We're free from guilt because of Calvary. God help us never to forget. Never to forget. Amen. Would you stand with me? I know you didn't think I could do it that quick. Amen. Hallelujah. I would ask you, as we leave this place today, and I want us to just pray where we are today. I want us to pray that God would help each one of us to never forget what he has done in our own lives, that we'd treasure that which he has done, that we'd treasure it, that we would make sure that we hold the salvation that has been freely given unto us, hold it with a passion. But likewise, I pray that we pray for this great nation, that we would stand for righteousness, that we would stand for godliness. Shall we pray together? Father, I'm so thankful for this, your people that have gathered together today. Lord, they've come to your house on this holiday when they could have been anywhere else. They could have been doing anything else. But Lord, they've come in honor of you. They've come and worshiped you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, I ask you would bless each one of them. But Lord, in the process of the things that we do, even on this Independence Weekend, and on the days to come, I first ask you, God, to help us not to forget the freedom that we have as Americans. Help us to treasure it. Help us, oh God, to be on guard for those things, that those which might come after us could still know the peace of living in a free nation. That those that come after us could still understand what it is to truly be free. But Lord, I ask you also that you'd help us to never forget that which you've done in our lives. Help us to remember that it was your shed blood. The ultimate price was paid at Calvary. You shed your blood that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Help us to give thanks every day for us, for it. Help us to share the experience of salvation with each one that we know, that those that would come behind us might also know that there is a God that loves us, that cares for us, that is concerned about our very need, that will help us in our every situation, that truly we are free indeed in you today. I ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen.
Try to keep you too long, but I have a couple of announcements. David wanted me to remind you of the men's conference that we'll be seeing on the TV. It's August the 1st and 2nd, Friday night and Saturday morning. You have to sign up for that. The sheet is in the back. You've got a couple of weeks to sign up for that. Tomorrow night is deacons meeting at 6 o'clock, and Jane has an update for us. If Jane will come and give us an update, then we'll let you go home.
Just real quick, just want to let you know that since the vote, we had a couple weeks go by, the trustees felt they wanted to do some due diligence before signing legal contracts on behalf of the church. So we've had, there's been some meetings with the deacons and the trustees and the building team. We've met with different people on different stuff. Bottom line is, they signed the contract with Midwest, and the bank had a couple other things that they were wanting from us. So the closing date has been changed to this Thursday with no change in interest rate. So we're on track, we're moving forward, and praise God.
Thank you. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, as we come to thank you for this day and thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, I think of that verse in Hebrews that said, how can we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Yes.
Lead us, Lord, in the paths of righteousness that we might not forget those that have gone before us, those from Abraham all the way down to those men in Afghanistan today. I pray that you would be with them. Lead them, guide them, protect them. Be with us, each one of us, as we go our separate ways. May we not forget you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Some say faith is just believing. Others say it's self-deceiving. Thinning childish dreams to get us through. Deep inside me there's a yearning for true wisdom, not just learning. I trade all my clever questions for one answer that is true. I do believe you are the one, the home I long to find, my only hope, God's only son. I do believe, I touch, I see, questions eat at me like cancer. Make me once again a simple child. Help me take the risk of losing, lose it all to find in choosing to believe answer.